Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Pei Ches. We will begin on Daf Pei Zayin on Beis, five lines from the bottom to Nan Hossam. At the end of the previous shiur, we had discussed that in blood there is a component called Salalta de Dama. And the Gemara had spoken what is the halachic status of the Salalta de Dama. Today's shiur, we speak at the beginning of the shiur briefly about different liquids that come out from a mace or in other areas of tumah and what is their status. So the Gemara begins with Tanan Hossam, although the Rishonim all point out that even though usually we know when the Gemara says the word Tanan, it means a Mishnah, there is no Mishnah like this, it's actually a Braisa. Tanan Hossam, Kom Mashka Mace Tahirim, all liquids that emanate from the body of a person who's no longer alive. That means if there's urine in a system, or if it's a woman and there's milk left in a system, are all tahar, chutz midamai, except for blood. Tysus asked the question, even if, as we're learning and going to explain more, that the actual liquids are tahar, why are we not concerned that as they come out of the body of this person, they touch his body? And the body, amesa via vaisatoma. So Tysus gives two answers. One answer, Tysus says, is that there really is no pasuk explicitly in the Torah that's saying that just because liquid comes out of and touches the body of a mess, that person is tamei. That's one pshat Tysus says. The other pshat Tysus says is that the Gemara is referring to a situation that they came out of the body through a tube. A tube was inserted in the body, and the liquid went through the tube and never actually touched the corpse itself. Chutz midamai, the dam of a mess, as we learned at the end of the previous year, is tamei. It even has tumas oil. The kol marad mumis, not only when it's blood, but even when it has a reddish color, betamei ba'oil. Ask the Gemara, umashka meis tairim. Is it true that all liquids that come out of the body of a mess are tar vriminu? A word of introduction. In Hilchos Tumah and Tahara, we speak many times of a person who's a tful yoyim. A tful yoyim is a person who was tamei, went to the mikveh, but just because he went to the mikveh, he doesn't become completely tahor. He has to wait for Harav Shemesh. He has to wait for the day to end. And in halacha, if we have to categorize a tful yoyim, we would have to categorize him, say to Rishonim, as a sheni l'tumah. What does a sheni l'tumah mean? A sheni, somebody, something or somebody who's a sheni l'tumah can't transmit tumah to chulin, because chulin doesn't go past sheni. Can't transmit tumah to ma'isa sheni, but can transmit tumah to truma and to kachim, because truma could go up to a shlishi, and kachim could even go up to a revi. One word of introduction. Another word of introduction, as we'll see explicitly in the Gemara in a moment. When mashkim are tumah, and when mashkim have the ability to transmit tumah, in the cases that that exists, it's interesting halacha. We know whenever we speak about tumah, tumah goes always a step down. So if a rishon touches something, what he touches becomes a sheni. And if a sheni touches something, what he touches becomes a shlishi. By liquids, if a liquid is a sheni and it touches something else, the item it touches will become a sheni as well. So there's a braisa. The Braisa says, mashka tefil yoyim, the mashka, the fluids in the body of a tefil yoyim, are in the same category, kamashkim shenai gibben, similar to any liquid that he himself would touch. Ve'elu ve'elu e'metamim. And the Braisa says, it doesn't transmit tumah further. V'shah kol tumeim, that's by a tefil yoyim. But other tumeim, and the Braisa is ambiguous. The Braisa just says, ben kalim ben chamurim, low level tumah and higher level tumah. And the Braisa doesn't identify what it means with lower level and higher level tumah. Mashkin hayotz mehen, the liquids that emanate from these different types of tumah, not tful yoyim, kamashka negebehem, are going to have the same halacha like a mashka that touches them, that they would become a sheni, they would become equal in category. Veil veil tchila. The mashka, even if itself is a sheni, as far as halach is concerned, I just said it a moment ago, always is considered like a rishon, and therefore if it touches something else, it won't be like going down from sheni to shlishi, it will be on the same level. Chutz min hamashka sho'uav atuma, except in the certain cases where the Torah said certain mashka are considered avatoma. Which mashka are considered avatoma? The Torah Kedosh says that the secretions that come out of the body of a zov, which means the actual ziva, or saliva, or urine, or semen, there the Torah says a special din, that the secretions of a zov are an avatoma. That's the Braisa. And as we learned the Braisa, we made a point that the Braisa is sort of unclear. My kalan, my chamurim. The Braisa says that the liquids that come out of kalan and chamurim, lower level and higher level tuma, are tuma as well. My love, how would we teach this? Kalan, we would say, means sheretz v'zov. Why? And chamurim means mace. Why? Because a zov and a sheretz are avatoma, and a mace is aviavaisatoma. Another nafkamina is, by a mace, the minimum amount of time you have to be tummy is at least 7 days. That's how long it takes the purification process. A sheretz, zov, you don't have to wait 7 days. But what is the, if that's shot in the brisa, what is the brisa saying? The liquids that emanate from this tum chamura, which we just said, the tum chamura is a mace, is tummy. But we started this year saying that the liquids that come out of a mace are not tummy. How do we understand this? Answers the Gemara, we defined it improperly. Kalan means tumah sheretz, and chamura means zov. Why is sheretz called a tumah? Why is sheretz less than tumah ziva? The answer is because a zov could be a sheretz will never could is tumah only for 1 day. A zov could be tumah for longer. So we have a very interesting situation, observes the Gemara. Tumah sheretz and tumah ziva, we just finished explaining, is a lower level tumma than tumma smeis. Yet we're saying that the mashka that comes out of, the liquids that come out of a sheretz or a zav are metame, and the liquids that come out of a mace are not. And therefore immediately ask the Gemara, mashna zav the gozber rabbonin, or mashna mace the loy gozber rabbonin. Interesting question Rav Kivega asks, doesn't answer. If the Gemara wants to show disparity, the Gemara should have asked a stronger question. Zov and mace are more similar than sheretz and mace. So if the Gemara is saying that if you made exeret by sheretz, if you made exeret by one thing, you certainly should have made exeret by mace, the Gemara's point would have been made stronger if it would have said sheretz versus mace, rather than saying zov versus mace. Kivega doesn't give an answer to the question. But back to our Gemara. Again, maishno zov the gozer rabbonin, or maishno mace the gozer rabbonin. Answers the Gemara, Zov de loy bedili in shemine. People are in constant contact with Zovim, and Chazal were concerned that you may come to touch something which is indeed Tamei deraisa. That's why Gozer Barabonin. Mace, which is Avia Vaisa Tumma, and everybody knows when you see a mace that you have a mace, the bedili in shemine la Gozer Barabonin. And as I saw in the Sefer Sharm Tzion Balocha, he says this philosophy that our Gemara is now teaching us, that something that you come into more contact with is a reason to make a gzeira is found throughout halacha. He says, number of examples, anida. When somebody's wife is anida, that's a place where Chazal made many gzeiras. You can't even pass something to her. Why? Because you're so familiar with your wife, so Chazal needed to make gzeiras. Or, bas b'cholov. We're going to Mitzvah Shabbos to learn that you can't have meat and milk on the same table. Why? Because since the meat is kosher meat and the dairy is kosher dairy, so it's something that you could easily make a mistake. That's why Chazal made a gzeira. Something like a mace, which is so obvious that you have to stay away from, less need to make a gzeira. Back to Perakisi Adam. So we learned in the Mishnah, Dama Nitas V'Shalasakin. The blood that's splattered or the blood that's on the knife, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda says you have to scrape it off and do Kisi Adam. Tanu Rabbanan quotes the Gemara Braisa, Bikisa Malam Chadam Hanitas Vishala Sakin, blood splattered or on the knife, Chayv Lachasis. Om Rabbi Yehuda, comments Rabbi Yehuda, When does that halacha apply? Bizman shein sham dam melahu, when there is no other dam with which to do kisi hadam. Av yesh sham dam shloihu, if you have other dam available, potam lachasas. So Yehuda's opinion, an opinion that we quoted previously, is that you don't have to do kisi hadam on all of the dam. You have to only do kisi hadam on some of the dam, and you mekayim the mitzvah. Although I did see that the achronim, the poskim, say that mikzah, stam, that you're doing kisui, you have to do it perfectly, that this should be completely covered permanently. Tanya idach, v'kisoh melamed shekol dam mechayev l'kasas. This is the opinion of the Rabbanan. Bikan amru, dam anitas, even the blood that splatters during the shechita, ushal agfayim, that are on the neck of the animal, all dam chayev l'kasas. So pashup shat, the Rabbanan are very big machmirim. Rabbi Yehuda says, just take a little blood and do kisi adam. Rabban says, you have to take all the dam. But I saw a very interesting machlokes achroinim. How to really understand the opinion of the Rabbanan. What will be the halacha, according to the Rabbanan, in a situation where you don't have all of the dam available? All of the dam that came out of the animal is not available to you. So what will the Rabbanan hold? Will they hold at least do kisi on all that you have? Or, maybe, if you can't do kisui in all of the dam, then you don't have to do any kisui at all. What's the lamdus? There's lamdus to it. The lamdus is, how do we understand the opinion of the Rabbanan? Do we understand the opinion of the Rabbanan? Is that all the dam that we have available, as much dam, that's much dam, we have to do kisui. Or do we understand that the mitzvah was only given, in other words, according to that, every drop of dam has its own mitzvah. And every drop, therefore, that's available to you, you should do kisui on. There's another way of understanding the Rabbanan. Maybe what the Rabbanan means to say is that when did the Torah give us the mitzvah? When you have all of the dam. Absent all the dam, there's no longer any mitzvah. And therefore, maybe the Rabbanan would be mekilim. Amar Shimon Gamliel. Now Rav Shimon Gamliel has a different opinion. Madvar mamurim shloi kisa dam ha-nefesh. Aval kisa dam ha-nefesh, potam el-chasas. Shimon holds that the kisui hadam that the Torah speaks about is about the dam and nefesh. Just to review, we discussed this in Masechta Zvachim. When an animal is slaughtered, first there's black blood that comes out. That's not dam and nefesh. Then there's red blood that starts coming out. It first trickles out, shaisis. Then it spurts out, it's mekaleach, and then it trickles again. So everybody agrees that the red blood that spurts out, that's mekaleach, is certainly dam ha-nefesh. The question is, if the red blood that shoises is also considered dam ha-nefesh. And if Shimon Gamliel holds that the chiv or kisui adam is strictly on dam ha-nefesh, mechlokes rishonim, Rav Shimon Gamliel clearly says that the din of kisui adam was set to dam ha-nefesh. But what does that mean? Does it mean all of the dam ha-nefesh should be covered? Or he holds kisui adam is done on the dam ha-nefesh, but only on some, as long as you cover some of the dam ha-nefesh, you will makayim the mitzvah. Machlokes rishayim. The Michael Mifligi, what's the machlokes? Rabbanan savri damai, kol damai. All blood has to be covered. If you do some of damai, feel mixes damai. As long as you covered some blood, Rabbanan savri damai, what's the taich of damai? Damai ha-miyuchet. Says the Mishnah, Mamma Chesem, Mamma Emechasen. What can or can't be used for kisui adam? Says the Mishnah Mechasim b'zevel hadak, fine dung, u'b'chol hadak, fine sand. B'sid is lime, that we'll see is crushed. B'charsis is pottery. U'b'vona, u'b'megufa, different earthenware, kalim, shakotchim that have been ground up. Ava emechasim, lo b'zevel agas, you may not use coarse, heavy Zevel, v'lai b'chalagos, heavy, hard sand, v'lai b'lavonim b'bova shloi kotchem, earthenware that hasn't been ground up, v'lai yuch v'lai sekeli. So Mepharshim asks, what is the Mishnah teaching us with the words v'lai yuch v'lai sekeli? Of course, that's not the way that do kisi adam. What's the Mishnah teaching us? We're speaking about different materials, but nobody suggested that you take something and cover it, that that's how you could be doing kisi adam. So why must the Mishnah teach us this then? I saw a very nice pshat. The Mishnah is teaching us a very important rule. We shechted b'chaya, we shechted the oif, and we have the dam. So now we have an opportunity to to do a very choshev mitzvah. We have the opportunity to do the mitzvah kisui adam. Teaches us the Mishnah, v'layichvala f'sakeli. Don't take a keli and cover up the dam, and avoid doing the mitzvah kisui adam. You're certainly not making the mitzvah by that. But you avoid doing the mitzvah because the dam is invisible to you. On the contrary, leave the dam open, and then do the mitzvah kisui adam properly. Rav Shimon Gamliel, and most Rishonim say Rav Shimon Gamliel is actually not a new opinion. Rav Shimon Gamliel is just summarizing what we've learned in the Mishnah. Davish Megalef Matzvachim, something that could grow, that vegetation could grow from, Mechasimba, can be used for Kisi Adam, Shem Megalef Tzvachim, and Mechasimba. So the Mishnah began by saying that Chol Hadak may be used, fine sand can be used for Kisi Adam. What is the definition of Chol Hadak? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bechan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol She'en Yoitzer Tzarchel Kachay. It's so fine that it doesn't require any grinding. Victor Masnula, others have this statement made regarding the Sefer. The Sefer said, "Ei mechas lo bezevel agas, v'loy b'chol agas." Asked the Gemara, when is something considered chol agas that it may not be used? Says the Gemara, "Am Rabbi B'chan, Am Rabbi Yochanan, kol she'yotzer tzarach l'katshay. If it's so thick that it has to be ground up, then it's not kosher." Ask the Gemara, "My benayu, what's the difference between these two versions?" Says the Gemara, "Ik benayu, ik benayu tzarach v'loy tzarach. It's not perfectly ground. The mifrach afruchi. That means it doesn't actually require grinding, but it requires crumbling." So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, according to the first Lashon, as long as it doesn't require grinding, it's good enough. According to the second Lashon, no. If it isn't already completely fine, it isn't good. There are Rishonim that explain the Gemara just the opposite, that the first Lashon will be holding that it's not good, and the second Lashon will hold that it is good. Tana Bonim, V'chisol, the Torah Kedoshah says that you should do kisui adam. Yochli chaserim ba'avonim, you would think that you could even use stones, or yichfalas a keli, or just cover it with a keli, and with that you mekayim the mitzvah kisui adam. Tamaloimer ba'offer. The Torah says you have to use sand. Says the Braisa, ve'en li ela offer. So if I learned that, I would think that only offer may be used. Menayin l'rabbis, zevel hadak, v'chol hadak, which are not offer. V'shchikas avonim. Shchikas avonim is when you grind up stones. Shchikas charsis, you grind up earthenware. Nuus pishtendaka, ground up linen. Vinasirish shalchirshin, daka, which means sawdust. Vesid, the charsis levana, umagufishakachin, that all of these are acceptable materials. Tamaloimer, vichisahu, that all of these materials are equally fine. Yochel, continues the Braisa, that if everything is so acceptable, Sharimab av zevel agas, v'chol agas, heavy zevel and heavy chol, shchikas klei matchis, when you ground up a metal keli, ulevonam begufish lekotchem, when you take an earthenware keli that you haven't ground up at all, the kemach v'subin immersin, kemach we know is flour, subin immersin are the brand around flour, tamalayma ba'offer, that it has to be sand. Ask the brice on itself. Some, we first give a list of many materials that are included. Then we gave a list of many materials that are excluded. What is the proba? Says the Braisa. I take everything that's included could somehow be connected to earth. Everything that's excluded, Shedman offer, that can't be in the category of offer. Ask the Gemara. The Tayrak Daisha says the words, V'chisahu ba'offer. So, ask the Gemara. We've learned numerous times that when we have that kind of wording, how will we teach it? V'chisahu is a klal, ba'offer is a prat. And as we say many times in the morning, Ein b'chlal, elamash b'frat. What is the frat? Offer. And therefore, if we learn as a klal prat, we'll be very, very specific that only offer may be used and nothing else. Ema asked the Gemara, the the way to understand the pasuk should be v'chisol klal. Offer is a prat, and we know the rule is klal a prat ein b'chlal amash b'frat. Offer in midach rinaloi, and the only thing that would be able to be used would be offer. Answers the Gemara. Amar of Mary, b'shem to have a klal a tzarech l'prat, v'kol klal a tzarech l'prat ein darnas b'chlal prat. Gemara teaches us a very important rule. The rule the Gemara teaches us is that even though we've had numerous times the concept of a klal prat, vein b'chlal el mash b'frat, when is that said? That is said, this is the way Rashi explains. First we'll give Rashi's pshat. Where if you take the klal and you could understand the pasuk perfectly well with the klal itself. So then, why did the Torah add the prat? It must be because ein b'chlal el mash b'frat. But let's think about this pasuk, the word v'chisohu. If we only had the word v'chisohu, what does it mean v'chisohu? Cover it. Now, you know, when you think about covering something, there are two ways of covering something. One way is like with offer, with the thing that you use to cover actually touches the thing that you're covering. Or you could take a keli and just cover it. Now, the word v'chisohu could go either way. It could go just putting a lid on it, or it could be actually touching what you want to cover. So the word v'chisohu is not clear. How do I know that to be mekayim the mitzvah kisi hadam, and it can only be fulfilled with something that actually touches the dam? From the word ba'offer. Otherwise I would never know it. So therefore the prat should not be understood, says Rashi in explaining the Gemara, as something extra that I don't need to teach us the basic halacha. The prat here is needed to teach the basic halacha. And therefore it's not considered a prat to klal. That's how Rashi learns. Beautiful pshat. Tosfos also learns a very nice pshat. Tosfos goes back to the beginning of the perek. If you recall, at the beginning of the perek, the Gemara taught us that to be mekayim mitzvah kisi adam, you have to have offer lamata, a layer on the bottom, v'offer lamala, and a layer on the top. Says Tosfos, if you only had the word v'chisohu, what does v'chisohu mean? Cover. It would mean only the top. But we know that's not the rule. But offer comes to teach us that we have to have a layer on the bottom as well. So if so, it turns out that the offer is again necessary to teach us the basic halacha of how kisui adam is fulfilled. And therefore it's not considered klal or prat. It's considered klal. The prat is here to define the klal. The prat is here to give us poshut pshat, poshut definition in the pasuk, and therefore it's not considered klal or prat. Continues the Gemara. Darash Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda. Ein mechasen Ella bedover shezorim by matzmiach. The only thing that you could use is something that if you planted, it would grow. What is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Nachman Rav Chisda teaching us? That you can't use desert sand. Because even though it's sand and it's earth, but nothing grows in the desert. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Hai Burcha, what he said is incorrect. Amalei, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, L'Rava, my Burcha say, why are you saying what he said is incorrect? And Noam Rita, Nile, I'm the one that taught him this halacha, and I taught it to him, Muhammad Snisa Amrita. I taught it to him based on this brisa, Muhammad Snisa Amrita Nile. I taught it to him based on the following brisa. The brisa says as follows, Hari Mahalcha Midbar, somebody's traveling in the Midbar, in the desert, Venle Eifel Chasois, and he doesn't have any earth available to him to cover the dam. He just checked the chicken. He needs to eat. So says the Braisa, Chiddush, Shoichik Dinazarov, grind up a gold coin, Umechasa, and use it to do Kisi Hadam. Hai Mahalch Besvina, or somebody's traveling on a boat, Veinlay Ophelachasas, doesn't have on the boat, on the cruise, anything to do Kisi Hadam with, Sarif Talesa, Umechasa. Burn your coat, burn your garment, and use it for kisi adam. So there's a big kasha, so the very big kasha. If you could use earth of the midbar, so why do you have to grind up your gold coin? It's a proof that you can't indeed use the coin, you can't use the coin, you can't use offer of a midbar. So there's a very interesting Mordechai on this Gemara. The Mordechai quotes the Gaonim that gives a different solution. He says, if somebody's traveling, and he has this, and he has this problem that he needs Sadukis Adam, and he has no earth available to him, what he should do is take what he's wearing, dip it into the blood, and let it get absorbed, the blood get absorbed into his garment. And then when he'll get back to where his offer available, he should get that blood out of his shirt and do Kisi Hadam. That's how the Mordechai quotes the Goyim. The Beis Yosef takes very great exception with that Mordechai. He says that if that is a legitimate Eitzah, that's a legitimate approach, why does an Agumar say it? And therefore, the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this Mordechai. The Ramah, however, does quote the Mordechai. And the Ramah, and all the Mepharshim try to understand what is the basis of this machloikis between the Beis Yosef and the Mordechai, between the Beis Yosef and the Mordechai, between the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. One pshat that I saw goes back to something that we discussed earlier in our shir, that the machloikis may be based, do you have to do Kisei Adam in all of the Dam? The Shoysev wants to do Kisei Adam on all of them. When you take a garment and you try to soak up the blood, you're not going to get all the blood. So therefore, don't do Kisei Adam that way. Ramah says you only have to do Kisei Adam on some of the blood. Some of the blood you're going to get. But then I saw different explanations. Beautiful explanation. One other explanation I saw is that what's happening here? You're soaking up the dam, but you're not doing Kisei Adam. You're only going to do the Kisei Adam later, when you get to a place where you have offer available. The Ramah holds, that's acceptable. That's considered that you're doing Kisui Hadam. Even though you're not actually doing any Kisui at this point. And the Ramah holds, you even make a bracha. What's the Ramah's Raya? Well, you all do it. It comes Pesach, the night before Pesach, by Bedikas Chametz. We do Bedikas Chametz. And what's the bracha we make by Bedikas Chametz? Asher Krishanam Mitzvah Tzivanu Al Biur Chametz. We're not burning the chametz for many hours. But since the bedika is the first step in the bir chametz process, you can make a bracha al bedikas chametz. So the same thing over here, says Ramah. Yes, the soaking up of the blood in your garment is considered the first step and ultimately doing kisei hadam. The Shoysev says that's not considered the first step and therefore it's not appropriate. A third explanation in the machlokes says the Ramah. Interesting, Ramah. This is what Ramah says in the Darkei Moshe. He says, we have a real issue here. You're taking a gold coin. Gold is very expensive. And you're grinding it up to use it for Kisei Hadam. Baltashchis. So says the Ramah, you're right. He says, you have to look at the situation. If the chicken is more valuable than the gold coin, then you can't grind up the gold coin. That's when you should do what the Mordechai tells you. Soak up the blood and do Kisei Adam later. But if the chicken is more valuable than the gold coin, then you have no problem because it's more valuable. That's the approach of the Ramah. The Beis Yosef says there's never a problem about Baltashchis. How could you say there's no Baltashchis? Gold is so expensive. And I'm taking a gold coin and I'm grinding it up to be able to eat it, to just do Kisei Adam for a chicken. The Beis Yosef's approach is, there's no such thing as Baltashchis when you want to do a mitzvah. When you want to do a mitzvah, there's no Baltashchis. And I saw an interesting tshuva from the Meches Yitzchak. He says, there's a person that lives in a community where there's no Pas Yisrael available. So he doesn't eat Pas Yisrael. We're not makmir on Pas Yisrael, besides the Sashimi tshuva. But his minig is that when he comes to a place where Pas Yisrael is available, he only eats Pas Yisrael. So this person was traveling from where he lived, and his wife made him a sandwich, not Pas Yisrael bread. And he didn't eat the sandwich on the trip, and he arrived wherever he was traveling to, and in that community where he arrived, there's Baruch Hashem plenty Pas Yisrael available. But if he's going to go and eat the Pas Yisrael bread, buy the Pas Yisrael bread, his sandwich is going to go to the garbage. Is that considered Baltashchis? He says, no. He says, we're learning a very important concept. That if you're doing something in order to fulfill a mitzvah, that's not called Baltashchis. And that's what the Beis Yosef says here. We don't have to worry about the gold coin. Even if a gold coin is so much more valuable than the chicken, it's not about tashchis. You're grinding it up to do a mitzvah. There's another interesting Mordechai, just to quote him, not specifically related to this discussion. He interestingly says that, and everybody disagrees with this, that you could use snow, shelag, to do kisei adam. It's hard to understand how's that in the category of offer, but it's interesting Mordechai. Says the Gemara, so we just learned in this braisa that you could use afer, which means ash, and offer to do kisei adam. Ask the Gemara, ashkhan afer the ikra offer. We see that the Torah calls afer offer. We'll see by the paraduma. So therefore, ash is acceptable material for kisei adam. Ask the Gemara, well, here we're learning a new din, that ground gold is also considered offer. Where do we have that? El din azar manolon. Amr of there, the pasuk says, for afra zohavlon. So the pasuk calls ground gold offer. So two points I'd like to make. One, it's only ground gold, no other metal. And that's why we learned on top of the Amid, that if you grind metal, you couldn't use it for kisei adam. One point. Another interesting thing, going back to Pesach, so the nusach that we say when we mevatel chametz, as we say, kochamir v'chamir dikar v'shusay t'chazite, t'loy chazite t'chamite, t'loy chamite levatel, or lehevah ka'afra da'ara. Why do we say ka'afra da'ara? We say levatel lehevah ka'afra. Because our Gemara just said that zov is also considered offer. So if you're saying that your ground up, that your chametz is like gold, you haven't done much of a bittel. So you're very careful to say ka'afra da'ara. I don't mean ground gold. I mean ground earth. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Emechas El Ba'offer, Devar Beishamai. Beishamai's opinion is you could only use offer. Beisel Aimrim, Metzinu, as I just said, Eifishakari offer. The Torah sometimes calls ash offer. Shenemar, the Pasuk says by the Paraduma process, where there it's talking about ash, and the Torah uses the words, V'lochulatame ma'afar sreifas. So the Torah is talking about ash and calls it offer. Beishamai, So how does Beishamai respond? It says, office reifa ikri. It's indeed called office reifa. However, office stama lo ikri. Continues the braisa. Tana, hasifar alayim. They added some more materials that may be used for kisadam. Hashachar is charcoal. Vakhol is black. There's like some sort of a black makeup that women wore. The nikris poisulim. When they cleaned the millstone, they had some particles. V'yesh oimra af hazarnik, which is also some sort of a material that could be, it's arsenic, actually. Amarova, says the Gemara, B'sa'a sh'amar Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu made a very strong statement about himself. He said, v'noi chi offer v'efer. He compared himself to offer v'efer. Zocho bonov l'shtei mitzvahs. Two mitzvahs they got in this chus. Eifa para, vaif saita. We know that the para duma is processes with ash, and the offer of a saita, that you take earth from the azara for the procedure of a saita. Ask the Gemara v'lach shivnami offer kisi adam. We have another offer, the offer that's used for kisi adam that we'll be discussing. Hasam, answers the Gemara, hechsha mitzvah ikka. Indeed, you mekayim a mitzvah with kisei adam, but I'm not leka. Because the Gemara is teaching us in this line a very important rule. That even if you didn't do kisei adam, it doesn't affect the kashrus of the bird or the kashrus of the chaya. You could still eat it. So by eifa para, you become tahar. By afasaita, you become tahar. Here, you don't become tahar. There are a number of very interesting comments to make here. Firstly, the Mefarshim say that the Gemara isn't consistent in the order it discusses. The pasuk says offer the afer, but when the Gemara speaks about what Avram Avinu got in return, it says afer para of offer saita. It should have said offer saita and afer para. So Farshim answer, everybody needs afer para. People get tameh. And if they win, and therefore the afer para is something that is really beneficial. Offer saita hopefully doesn't happen. Another question that I saw the Achronim ask, Mefarshim ask. So that means if Avram Avinu wouldn't have said, we would have never had Paraduma, and if a person would be tamei, he'd be tamei forever? So the Farshim say, of course not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't leave a person tamei forever. But the Afer site, the Parah Aduma procedure, is not such a difficult procedure. It was Avram Avinu, because he said these words, we got an easy way, an easy procedure, how to become Tahar. There's a very famous, beautiful vart from the Beis Halevi on this Gemara. He says, if you look at Afer and you look at Ofer, they're just the opposite of each other. Afer is ash. What is ash? It had a past. It has no future. Can't do much with ash. What is Ofer? Ofer has no past, but it has a future. You could plant Ofer and have a beautiful garden. So Avraham Avinu said about himself, I am nothing. I am like Afer and Ofer. I have no past and I have no future. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him in return? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him in return that he has Afer Parah, which works Mikan Alahaba, works for the future. The person is Tamei, but now he will become Tar. What does the Ofer say to do? It clarifies her status regarding what happened. You said that you have no past and you have no future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah that specifically addressed the past and the future. There's a nice verse from the Shem Shmuel. The Shem Shmuel says, with this Gemara we could understand why the Torah, when it speaks about the Tahara of the Levium, there's a special pasuk about the Tahara of the Levium. So he asks, Levium a part of Klai, so what is a special pasuk? So he answers that there's a concern that the Levium may become conceited. The Levium may become conceited. Why? Because the rest of Klai, so we know where did Tumah come to the world, where did Misa come to the world, from the Chet HaEgel. The Levium didn't participate in that Aveira. So they would think that they're separate, they're not off of Afer. That's why they had a separate parasha. You too are humans, and you too can become Tumah. To end this year, we'll say a nice verse from the Dubna Magid, explaining this Gemara. He says, there was once somebody came to Shul. He was a very, very distinguished individual, but a modest individual. He was a modest individual. So they asked him to sit up front, you know, on the Mizrach side, but he refused under any circumstances. A modest person that he's going to sit in the back. But the people in the Shul, the administration of the Shul, was embarrassed that such a distinguished individual should sit in the back. So what did they do? They went and they put next to him some other distinguished members of the shul to sit next to him in the back. So all the choshva people were sitting together. And therefore, it wasn't such an embarrassment. He says, that's what happened over here. Avraham Avinu said, v'noichi ofer ve'efer. He denigrated the ofer ve'efer. I'm nothing, the offer is nothing, efer is nothing. Avraham Avinu was really a great person. So how did they make it great? They gave a mitzvah to the offer and efer, making the offer of efer greater, making Avraham Avinu greater, to showing what is really great, Avraham and the mitzvahs.